Muy buenas tardes y buenas noches para todos los que ya es de noche.
Good afternoon and good evening to all those where it's already evening. It is a privilege and blessing for me to be able to greet you, Missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, there in Topo Chico, in the congregation that the Reverend Hugo Rodriguez pastors, there in Monterrey, Mexico, and all the brethren gathered there, and also those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in the different countries that the satellite signal reaches, and also through the internet and all means of communication. Today, Friday, January 5th of this year, 2024, we have the subject, The Inheritance of the Overcomer, preached on February 10th, 2015, in Costa Rica. And there he read the scripture of Romans chapter 8, 14 and on, and also Hebrews chapter 1. So let us read in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. There on the left side he draws the Star of David. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And he continues reading there in the message up to verse 23 of Romans. Let us read up to there. The inheritance of the overcomer. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, the sixth dispensation, the grace, preached on Sunday, April 12, 2015, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. He tells us, our brother William says, well, it says in Exodus chapter 3 that the angel appeared to him in a burning bush, and it was a fire, a pillar of light. And Moses went to see, and when he come near, he says to him, Moses, he says to him, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is in Exodus 3:6. And it was the angel of the covenant. It was Christ, the angel of the covenant, who is the Holy Spirit, the heavenly body of God, in which he appeared to many of the prophets on different occasions. That is why Jesus could say in John chapter 8, verse 56 to 58, Abraham, your father, desired to see my day. He saw it and was glad. They say to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus says to them, before Abraham was, I am. How could it be possible that Jesus was before Abraham? And he has a title, which is Son of Abraham. How can they call him Son of Abraham if he is before Abraham? And how can he be called Son of David if he is before David? Now notice in the book of quotations, on page 121, on paragraph 1072, it tells us, and remember, that was the last sign that was given to the elected church, Abraham and his bunch, before the promised son appeared. Is that right? God had given Abraham signs all along the journey, and so has he the church. But when the angel of the Lord came down and do that, he destroyed the unbelieving Gentiles, and the expected son that had been waiting for appeared, Isaac. This ministry will end soon, and the expected son will appear himself. And he writes, Christ in his angel. where at the bottom says, the expected son, there an arrow, and he writes, son-Moses. And also to the side at the top, on the right side, upward, he writes, the angel destroyed the Gentiles. And also at the top, he writes, the son of Abraham will come, equals Christ. That is, the anointed one. The son of Abraham will come, equals Christ. And there, he also writes another sentence right there, when the ministry of the fourth Elijah ends. The son of Abraham will come, equals Christ, when the ministry of the fourth Elijah ends. Now notice, our brother William continues to say here, the titles that he has to manifest himself, those are some of them. But as king, as heir, we have the title of Son of Man. That's a prophet, Christ in the body, that they will call prophet or Son of Man. God was in Christ in all of His fullness. That is why He identified Himself with the title of Son of Man. As Son of Man, He is heir to the planet Earth. Then, He has the title of Son of David. As Son of David, He has that title, the content of the King of Israel. As Son of David, Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, the King of Israel, because He is the Son of David, a direct descendant of King David. In an excerpt, he writes on the back, it says, the messengers of the Old Testament, it's written, the messengers of the Old Testament, the eight sons of Jesse, the eighth was the anointed king and heir of the king. And his dynasty is the inheritance. Let us see here. And his dynasty is will inherit the kingdom of God on earth. I'm reading it just as is there. The eight messengers of the church amongst the Gentiles. The eighth will be the heir with the birthright blessing. Now remember that the eighth pertains to the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. Remember that the birthright blessing pertains to Joseph through the line that is, he passes the birthright blessing to Ephraim through the line of Joseph, because the rights of the birthright passed from Reuben to Joseph. We see that there in Chronicles 5. Now notice how in David, the eighth son of Jesse, God is showing through that son the messenger of the age of the cornerstone who sits on the throne of David, for there would not fail to be one. In other words, the blessing of sitting on the throne to reign with Christ for 1,000 years and for eternity, it is through the line of that dynasty of David. Now, look at what Brother William continues saying here. He says, and the angel Gabriel, he says, and the angel Gabriel tells Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 36, that she will have a child, a son. She will give birth to a boy, and to name him Jesus. And that God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule forever. As the son of David, heir to the throne and kingdom of David, as son of man, I told you, heir to the entire planet Earth. As son of man, to use that title, he has to appear as he has promised. that the coming of the Son of Man will be as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot. Page 86 of the Book of Quotations. Paragraph, let us see here. Page 86, paragraph 739, he tells us, and that the Lamb, that bloody holy kinsman, that come walking forth from the throne down through the mystic lights of the corridors of God's throne, walk out to claim his inheritance. There on top he writes, the inheritance. And he draws a pyramid and the ages on the right side. And there he writes Revelation 5:1, Revelation 10:1-11, in Matthew 24:42-47. In other words, notice, he has to appear, it says there. The coming of the Son of Man has to appear as Son of Man, like in the days of Noah and Lot. What for? To carry out the claiming work, as Brother Branham says. In other words, that is once he already leaves the throne of intercession in heaven. This that is here, spoken by a Brother Branham, that he would do, it says, to claim his inheritance. When? When he leaves the throne of intercession, where he was there carrying out his work as King and Redeemer. Notice now what Brother William continues saying. And the people, mankind, is already like in the days of Noah and like in the days of Lot. Everything is ready for the coming of the Son of Man. On page 102 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 886, it says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The messengers will be in Sodom, and the called out church will receive a sign of what? God manifested in human flesh. In God, he writes, HS, that is Holy Spirit. God manifested in human flesh. Glory, Jesus Christ. And there again he writes, HS, that is Holy Spirit. Glory, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a sign to the Gentile church. And above there, he writes, like in the days of Lot, equals God in flesh. And there he also writes, the sign for the church equals God manifested in flesh. Now, if he is telling us that mankind and the people, he says, the people and mankind, it is already as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot. Well, everything says that it is prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. And how was the coming of the Son of Man in the times of the days of Lot, the days of Noah and of Lot? Well, God in flesh, in the midst of that people, of that generation. Now notice that if mankind is as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot, then we must look in the midst of the human race for that same parallelism, which is God in flesh in the midst of the people. Notice how that title of Son of Man is manifested in this end time. Because if it is like in the days of Lot and Noah, then mankind has to be looking for that fulfillment at this time. In other words, the equivalent to what it was back then, to look for it now, because God works the same way. And there was a change of dispensation back then. Notice, in the changes of dispensation, there is always a manifestation of a dispensational messenger. Now notice, he continues saying, and as Son of God, I told you, he is heir of heaven and earth. That is, of everything. Notice, in the message, possessing all things, He tells us on page 19. Let us read something there. Notice, on that page 19, he tells us, there you are, heir of all things, heir of eternal life, heir of divine healing, oh, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Now, what Brother Branham is saying here, you, as a chosen one of God, as a firstborn of God, as an heir of God, it belongs to you. It is yours. You are an heir of all these promises. Because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Lord, he says there. Now notice that Brother Branham here is showing us that we are heirs of everything. Now notice. Praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting and looking above, filled with His goodness and love. Hallelujah, there you are. This is my story, and this is my song. I am an heir of salvation. What is salvation? Something that's given to you. It's a gift. I'm heir of salvation. What kind? For eternal life. Salvation for my soul. Salvation for my body. Salvation for my awareness. Salvation for everything. God made me heir of everything through Christ. He died, rose, and returned back and brought the evidence and poured it out upon us. Oh, my glory. Oh, my. Now, you go up there. What do you do? When you go just like Abraham did, go up there with that promise. God, you told me it's mine. I got faith in your promise. I'm bringing your word. You promised this. You said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Ask, it shall be given. Knock, it shall be opened. Here I am, Lord. I am here. I'm knocking, seeking, asking. I've got to receive it. There you are. Something takes place then, oh, when you lay that word down. Now notice, one has to know how to quote the word. One has to know how to place the word right. That is why when he says that when that group, the chosen ones, can take that word and place it right, in other words, that is already telling you about a faith that was not had by the church in the ages, a perfect faith. And Enoch had that faith, which is the rapturing faith. Now notice that we were told that the rapturing faith would be given in a great tent cathedral, which the church did not have. He says, we barely have enough faith for divine healing, as Brother Branham says in the seals. He takes the voice of those seven thunders. He will send them. He promised it. Now notice that God is fulfilling what He promised in a great tent cathedral. Now notice. He says that something then happens when you quote the word. It's not about quoting it like a parrot. One has to know how to quote the word. One has to know to place it right. He continues saying, look what Satan did when Jesus laid the word down on him. And it's also written. That is, when Jesus told him, it's also written. He jumped away from that wire, as I said the other night. Yes, sir. Then, what after you overcome? How do you overcome? Could you ever do it by yourself? Could you ever do it by yourself? No. Somebody went before you and overcome for you. It's Christ. Now, in His first coming, somebody went and overcame for you and me. And since everything is and would be parallel in His second coming to what the first coming was, notice, we will also have the equivalent at this time. Because that is the faithful and wise servant, that is the overcomer of this end time, who will overcome and will obtain the great victory in divine love for you in the fulfillment of His second coming. Could you ever do it by yourself? No. Somebody went before you and overcome for you. It's Christ. I'm just an heir of it. I don't have to do anything. I am an heir of the promise. The only thing I have to have is put my faith on His promise. And there He draws the Star of David. Do you see it? And I ask you, are you seeing it? Because putting your faith is what was required in the first coming of the Lord, in Jesus of Nazareth, a simple carpenter from Nazareth, fulfilling the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And He went forward and overcome for you and for me. Now, right there, we were heirs of what He did. But the faith has to be based on that. The faith of the believer had to be based on what He did for you and for me, see? And in His second coming, faith has to be resting and being placed in His promise. Now, look what He goes on to say. Brother Branham, are you worthy of that? No. You think I'm worthy? No. Do you think the bishop's worthy? No. Is there ever a man worthy? No. Well, why? You're an heir. Notice, that settles everything. Are we worthy? We are not worthy. But then, why? Because we are heirs. He continues saying, if you was the biggest drunkard in the world and your father left you $1,000,000, whether you are worthy or not, his heir, you're the heir of your father's heritage. Whatever he left you, it's yours whether you were worthy or not. He left it to you. Amen. See? No matter how you have been in life, don't be afflicted over that. You're an heir. And He left those promises and He left that inheritance for you and for me. Therefore, we are worthy to receive them. But you have said that we were not worthy. But He has made us worthy. He has made us worthy because we are the heirs, the overcomers who will inherit those promises. How many? Some of them? Two or three? All of them, He said. We are heirs of everything. Our brother William goes on to say, I was a sinner, but I'm an heir. I was no good, not yet, but still I'm an heir. I should die and go to hell, but I am an heir. I'm an heir of what? Eternal life. How do you know you're going to get it? I feel it. In other words, we feel it inside. Something reproves us. Something says, wait a minute. What is making me downcast? What is making me look down at the ground? If when we were told and promised that when these things begin to come to pass, look up. with that chest up and that face lifted up, looking upward, because you're an heir. You're not just anyone. You're not just any person. You are a child of God. You are an heir of God's promises. Now, look at what he continues saying. How do you know you're going to get it? I feel it. The Holy Spirit brought it. Jesus rose from the dead so it could come. And now it's come. And he bears record and vindicates just exactly what he said he would do. I've passed from death unto life. I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then I'm an heir. Yes, sir. Now I'm on my march. Amen. Things are slaughtered. What's all them mean things I done? Just like Miriam did. Look back there. There they are, dead, buried in the sea of forgetfulness. In the book of God's great book in heaven. It's done been. My name has done been put on that book and done sealed. And put down in the sea of forgetfulness. A new book with a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Yep. Now we're heirs of all things then. Not of one, two or three. No. Of all things. Then like when Abraham, what did God tell him? This land belongs to you. What's in this is yours. Look east, north, west, and south. It's all yours. Everything here. I want you to come journey in a strange land, and I'm going to make you heir of that land. I'll give you this to you and your seed for after you forever. Now, Abraham, only thing he had to do was to put his faith on that promise. Pick up his sword and take off. Oh, how beautiful is that? See, what did Abraham have to do? Pick up the sword. And the sword, what is it? The word. Take the word and go out. And possess what he had said. Not leave it written. Not leave it expressed there. But to conquer it. Conquer that promise. Conquer what God had told him. This land is yours. Look this way, look that way, north, south, west, and east. But Abraham was not going to stay sitting there on a corner waiting for God to do that work. The work of God was to say it. It was up to Abraham to believe it and act and to put that faith on that promise. He had to fight for it. Every inch. Every thousandth of land, he had to fight for it. Now, Abraham, only thing he had to do was to put his faith on that promise. Pick up his sword and take off. When the crucial moment come, he got down there and God fought his battle. And he drew a Star of David. Who won the battle? It was God. But it was God in Abraham. That is why no one could stand before Abraham. Anyone who stood against Abraham was standing against God. That is why those who are against the children of God, they are not against the chosen one, that child of God. They are against God himself. And when he fought the battle, he slaughtered the kings. And here he was coming back. Amen. All over now. Brother, he could shout. Hear all the young men shouting and praising the Lord. Here comes Abraham. And who come out to meet him? Melchizedek, king of Salem. And look what they did. After the battle was over, they could sit down and take the bread and wine. The king brought out bread and wine. Why did he do him? After the battle was over, after the victory was won, then they could sit down and take the communion together, talk with each other, and eat the communion together. Oh, that's what God wants His children to do tonight. And on the side he writes, Melchizedek. Then, what about you, Brother Branham? What about that church you're talking to? We are the seed of Abraham. They are the royal seed of Abraham. We're the seed of Abraham by the promise. Through Christ Jesus, we become Abraham's seed and are heirs with him according to the promise. Then, if Abraham was an heir, I am an heir. I'm an heir with Abraham, and so are you. And how did it come? Through the royal seed of Abraham, which was Christ Jesus, the promised one by faith. Abraham received a son as one from the dead. And we receive a son that was not even a son and no way to get here. And God made him and sent him to us. Now notice. Look. He, in that moment, when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she would have a boy, and told her that he would be named Jesus. And notice something here. In chapter 1 of Luke, he told her that she would conceive in her womb. Now, first he told her, fear not. Those same words. Let us see something here as well. On the first chapter of Matthew, in the 20th verse. But while he thought, that is Joseph, on these things, because notice, let's start from verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Here, Gabriel had already appeared to Mary. He had already told her that. In other words, when Joseph finds out and learns what happened or took place with Mary, which, well, he's astonished. And then Mary, notice, here she doesn't tell him, but rather, the archangel himself is the one that in a dream tells Joseph, reveals to Joseph this. Notice, to Mary was face to face. To Joseph, it was in a dream. Now, that is something very important because look here. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought of these things, notice he stayed there with her. Well, he wanted to hide that. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. There we have the fear not again. That archangel is an archangel who, when he appeared on several occasions to Brother Branham, when he described him on some occasions, he said that he had a very stern but loving gaze. And that archangel noticed, straightened Daniel. That archangel is an archangel who is sent from the presence of God to bring the revelations to his prophets. And he is the one who has access to the Book of Truth. He is the archangel that Brother William told us on several occasions that he called him the archangel prophet of the sixth dimension. And he, on several occasions, told us, I can help you now, but the moment will come when I will not be able to do anything for you. Now, that is then speaking of when he would later on leave the throne of intercession. In other words, Christ. He was going to leave the throne of intercession. And that archangel who was in the midst of the people, in the midst of the church at the same time, while he was on the throne of intercession, he could help the people. And after he left the presence of the church, and Christ took the book, left the throne of intercession, took the book, opened it in heaven, and brought that little book to earth, opened, and gave it to a man, then outside of the presence of the church, of the spiritual Mary, he could no longer tell the church. He could no longer do anything being in the midst of his church at this time, because he would no longer be in the midst of the church in flesh. And then that manifestation of the Son of Man, where Brother Branham says that another manifestation of the Son of Man would come, then would be as judge, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Lion of the tribe of Judah, not as a lamb. Now, there the archangel tells him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now notice that Joseph, at 45 years old, adopts Jesus as his son. There was no way for that son who would be born to the church bride, who was begotten of the church, and who was born and has grown up and developed that instrument. There was no way for him to be the son of that archangel. There was no way. But notice, there was an adoption of Joseph there, which is that other angle which represents the one who adopted him as a son at this end time. With 45 years since he was begotten in 74 until 2019, he had 45 years of that ministry of that archangel at that time. If we go back a little bit more to 63, it would be 56. But notice the different angles of that ministry. Now, there are treasures there in what Joseph, the husband of Mary, represents. Now, let us continue here. And we received a son that was not even a son, and no way to get here. And God made him and sent him to us. And he came and paid the penalty of our sins, and by his death I become an heir. Oh my, there you are. And all the wickedness of the devil is behind. Praise be to God. Now, our brother William continues saying here, and when the heavenly throne of God and the throne of David come together, that will be the beginning of the ushering into eternity, literally speaking, after the last judgment. In the message, Revelation chapter 5, second part, it tells us, but we have an incorruptible inheritance, that is, salvation, redemption, go back to the Garden of Eden again. Think of it. Lord, who wouldn't want to go back like Adam and Eve and live back there? Our food provided each day. A Heavenly Father always along the trail talking to us. See that great light walking before us. And there he writes, the heirs, the inheritance to Eden again. And he also writes a bit further down, the great light. And he continues saying, the lion and the wolf feeding together, bullock eating the straw, the lion eating with him, when now they eat one another, or the lion eats the bullock, and the wolf eats the bullock, whatever he can eat. But them days, it won't be that way. The great beautiful birds flying, there'll be no sorrow. There'll never be a marker that we pass over our hopes. Down along the trail, there we'll see our children, our loved ones. Oh God, what a day. What a day. No matter what we receive here on earth, it's all going to fade away. But that won't fade away. And our brother William continues saying here, in the meantime, when he sits on the throne of David, that is to rule over Israel and over all mankind on the throne of David and the kingdom of David, which is spoken of as the restoration of the kingdom and throne of David. And all of that is under a new covenant. That is why the coming of the Lord is so important, because it will restore us to the physical eternal life and take us with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That very important feast where Christ and his bride, his church, will be endued with everything, all authority as kings, the king and the queen, and thus also with the title deed, of the heavens and the earth, which is the book sealed with seven seals. On page 7a from the book of quotations, on paragraph 70, he tells us, the Gentile church goes home for the wedding supper, and as Rebecca was taken unto Abraham's place with Isaac, and there was married, and Rebecca and Isaac come out with full possession of everything that Abraham had. It all went to Isaac, absolutely. And there he writes, the inheritance. Then above he writes, possession of the inheritance. That is above paragraph 70. Above it, he writes, possession of the inheritance, the marriage in heaven. And he draws a cornerstone. And in the cornerstone, he writes, heaven. Notice, it's in the cornerstone. And he could not come to Isaac until first Isaac was married. that he could not come to Isaac until first Isaac was married. On the right side, he writes, Christ. Oh, hallelujah, there you are. And Christ becomes, God dwells in that perfect, marred body completely forever and through eternity. When the Lamb and the Bride is marred in heaven, she walks out in full possession. Absolutely. Isaac and Rebekah came forth in full possession. And while this ceremony is going on in heaven of the bride, the Gentile bride being married to the Prince, God's Son, in glory, while they're being married, there are 3.5 years that take place while the three dots, Moses and Elijah and three dots. And he writes on the side, Moses and Elijah. And notice, in this writing, in a writing that he made there of a Bible study, where let us see here. Let us read first, searching the book of the seals, because this goes with this other part here, that he was showing to us in these last days. Notice on page 279 in the book of the seals, for notice, the one who has the title deed is the king. Because notice, Brother William continues saying there, the one who has that book is the king. And Christ receives that book in Revelation chapter 5. Now notice, the one who has that book, he says, is the king. Therefore, notice on page 279, page 279, it says, now, we have noticed now that the breaking of the seals is the sealed book of the redemption, and the book is brought up like a scroll, just like the old way was. It wasn't a book of this type, because this has just recently come in, these kind of books. In the last, oh, I guess 150 years or something, 200. And then they would roll it up, then leave the end loose. As I told you how it was done, the next was rolled around, then the end left loose, and it's like that. And each one was a seal. It was seven sealed book of redemption. And there at the bottom he writes, it must be open in the year of Jubilee, or the year of redemption, typified in Leviticus 25. Let me read it again. What he writes at the bottom there on page 235. It must be open in the year of Jubilee, or the year of redemption, typified in Leviticus 25. He continues saying, and then no one in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth was worthy to open it or even to look upon it. And John wept because he could find no man, because if that book was not taken out of the hands of the original owner, where it had been lost by Adam and Eve, and went back after they forfeited their rights of the word, their promises, their inheritance. And he numbers them, the word, the promises, their inheritance, 1, 2, and 3. That is, on each one, on the word itself, he writes 1, the word, the promises he writes 2, and their inheritance he writes 3. They remember, they controlled the earth. He was an amateur God, for he was a son of God, and a son of God is an amateur God. Now, that ain't contrary to the scripture. I know that sounds strange, but Jesus said, if you call them who the Word of God came to, and what does the Word of God come to? The prophets. If you call them who the Word of God came to, gods, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? See? And now they were gods. And he writes there, ye are gods, the prophets. Now, notice what here. In this writing of this message, of this Bible study, there he writes, he draws three circles. On the inner circle, he writes one. On the second one, he writes two. And on the outer one, he writes three, flesh. And then on the side, he writes one, God, equals Father. Two, Son of God, equals Holy Spirit, HS. And then three, Son of David, equals God in flesh, King. Now notice, the one who has, he says, the book is the king. So he has to be a descendant of the offspring of David, of the line of David. He writes four, Son of Man, dash, prophet, flesh. Five, Son of Abraham, equals heir to the royal grant. Now, our brother William continues saying here, the one who has that book is the king, and Christ receives that book in chapter 5 of Revelation, and he brings it to earth, to his church, in chapter 10 of Revelation, and he brings it open in order to carry out the physical redemption of our bodies, by transforming them, and for those who died, resurrecting them in eternal bodies. The sixth dispensation will thus close. Now, notice that that period of time where he leaves the throne of intercession in heaven, the dispensation of grace is left closed because there is a claiming work, which is that ministry as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to carry out that claiming work, but no longer being on the throne of intercession. In other words, that period of time there, in that dispensational interlace, would be marking a relay race, where you see those two runners, but there comes a point where you are apparently seeing both running, but the scepter is taken by that last one to whom it was given by the one who was previously running, so that the last one in that final race finishes that race, obtaining the victory. And apparently one sees that previous one running, but he's already reaching his end. That is, let us put it in the term of the dispensation. Seemingly that dispensation appears to be running, but it comes to an end in that interlace that is taking place there with the dispensation of the kingdom. Now notice, what we spoke about regarding that right to the inheritance, which is given to that one who has the title, the book, which in the beginning we read or quoted from Chronicles 5, 1 Chronicles 5, 1-2, where we saw there. Let's quote it. So, read a writing here from our brother William in this Bible study that they put that scripture there for him of 1 Chronicles 5:1-2. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. And there on the side he writes, the rights to the complete inheritance, which includes the kingdom. Now notice how that birthright was obtained by that son who came through the beloved wife, Joseph, Rachel, who through her he brought forth Joseph and Benjamin. Those were the two sons through Jacob's beloved wife. Now, notice, our brother William continues saying here, I'm a little further in this same message. There, Christ will be as king, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why when in Revelation chapter 19, Christ appears on a white horse with an army, coming on white horses and wearing white garments. That is Christ coming with his church for the establishment of the millennial kingdom. And a battle takes place there, because the Antichrist will not want to let go of the power. Now, look on page, let us see here. Page 51 of the message, The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride. Page 51, it says, Jesus gone to prepare with the divine hands a divine city, divine architect, for a divine button people, for a predestinated people. He has gone to prepare. And he writes, the bride. On top of that paragraph, he writes, theophanic bodies. Abraham was looking for it, and he professed that he was a pilgrim and a stranger, for he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. That prophet, knowing it was somewhere, John saw it coming down. But Abraham thought it must be on earth right then. Why? He met Melchizedek, the king of it, and gave him a tithe, which had no father or no mother. He had no beginning of life or no ending of life. Abraham met him, and they took communion right on the literal spot where the city will be raised up, the holy mountain of the Lord, where the redeemed will live. Oh my. There on the side he writes, tight. Oh my. That time just don't stop. No, we're in time. After a while, we'll go to eternity. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And on the side he writes, Abraham found Melchizedek and thought that the city was on earth. Oh, holy mountain, there will be streets of transparent gold, avenues and houses and parks. If you want to read this, Revelation 21:18, the tree of life will be there, 12 different manners of fruit, one each month, will be bore on it. The people that eat this fruit, they'll change their diet every month, and it's for only the overcomers. Do you know that? It isn't for the denominations. And there he writes, for the overcomers to eat from the tree of life. For whom? For the overcomers. You say, you mean that, Brother Branham? Let's turn to Revelation 2, just a minute, and find it. Revelation 2:7. Let's find out now whether it's really the truth or not. Revelation 2:7 reads like this. And he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, now remember, he's not talking to the Jews now. This is the church, the Gentile. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcomers only, that overcome the beast, overcome his mark. That's Catholicism, Protestantism, denominationalism. Who overcome the beast, his mark, the letter of his name, he'll have a right to the tree of life, to enter into the gates, where nothing that defiles can ever go in. Now, in the book of the seals, he tells us about those who overcome and about the overcomer. On page 137, paragraph or page 137. Let us see. It says, we all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on earth. He did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world, see, shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now someday he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. Which throne will he be taking? Now notice. That, let us see if tomorrow we can go into a little more on that throne. Now notice. Now, someday he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. Now, he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He's already got the book of redemption in his hand. Glory. See? And there he writes, the overcomers, on the right side he writes, the overcomers will sit on his throne, the church and Israel. And on the left side he writes, the throne of the Father, the throne of the Son. Now notice, he continues saying here in the message Future Home, where we stopped, see, think of it. Now, just a minute now, as we go just a little bit further, tree of life will be for the overcomers only. Now, our brother William continues saying here, so, these are all things which are prophesied, and therefore they are going to happen. But don't worry, we are going to have a glorified body to leave this earth before the great tribulation begins. To go to a feast, one always looks for the best clothes, and Christ has the best garment for us that is suitable for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Therefore, since we are in the dispensation of grace, where were we at that time? And he is speaking in the message that was preached on December 12, 2015. Since we are in the dispensation of grace, is what Brother William says there. Therefore, you cannot place it and say that he said that we are in the dispensation of the kingdom. Oh, but Brother Benji, Brother Jose Benjamin, but he said it in some messages. Remember that everything a prophet speaks, which precedes what is coming later on, he always speaks it as if it was happening during his time. Now, since we have already spoken of that time in other studies, but notice here, in these messages, he spoke more clearly. In other words, he brought that entire message, but he would tell us. But now we're here. It is like when Brother Branham used to say, he left the throne already. There is no more sacrifice. It is all finished. Brother Branham, you mean to tell me that I don't have an opportunity for salvation? Wait a minute. He's still there. This lies in the future. See? There he could. He was showing the people that they were already in the dispensation of the kingdom and that he was already as judge. But what he was bringing was a revelation of what would be later on. And here our brother William, in that final time, in those last years, he's already telling us and placing us where we were at that time, according to the divine program and according to the plan and program that he was carrying out at that time. Therefore, since we are in the dispensation of grace, the dispensation for salvation and eternal life of everyone who receives Christ as Savior, which he freely gives. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I know them, and I give them eternal life. John 10, 27-30. And further on this same message, he goes on saying, Melchizedek is Jesus Christ in his heavenly body, and he is the high priest of the heavenly temple. That is why the judgments of Revelation, the plagues, the vials, are still being held back before falling. It will take place consecutively at the end time. And we are already living at the end time. On page 50, in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 435, it says, look, Jesus said, now, it won't run all the way out, he said, because I have to cut the work short. If I don't, the atomic bomb will destroy all flesh. Mm-hmm. For the elect's sake, I will cut the works short in righteousness. And on the left side, he writes atomic. That is on top. And he draws at the beginning where it says 435. There beside it, he draws a cornerstone. And above he writes, the bombs, those days shorten, a quick work is done. Now notice, a quick work is done. Well, if there is a quick work to be done, then it is a short time. Notice, in the time of Brother Branham, he had 26 years. That is a long time. In the time of our brother William, notice, from 63, a little before that, he started that ministry. Notice, he lasted about 56 years. Also, he worked that lasted the same amount of time as Brother Branham's. And notice, at this time, that ministry, which had a beginning, we can say from the birth, but it had a beginning in terms of that part already within and during that dispensational interlace between grace to the kingdom and the time that pertains to before the beginning of the great tribulation. If we look at it compared to that time of Brother Branham and of our brother William, well, it is a short time. Even though in the age, it will reach a part where either within or outside of that time of our brother Branham and of our brother William, whether within or outside, it's still a short period of time compared to the time that those messengers had. Now notice, he goes on saying, therefore, let's be prepared, because they are clear promises of a new divine manifestation, a new manifestation of Christ in the midst of his church. Now he's telling us to be ready because a new manifestation would take place. And if it's a new divine manifestation, then he's talking about the Holy Spirit in the midst of the people with a veil of flesh. He was speaking of it there. He was already telling the people, be prepared. Because there are, he says, because there are clear promises. In other words, if there are clear promises, that is because it was spoken by the forerunner and he is here announcing it, bringing those good tidings of that new manifestation of Christ in the midst of his church. And he says, from there, that blessing and that manifestation will spread out to other countries. And if it is a new manifestation and that manifestation was going to be spread out to other countries, then we will be seeing God working in the midst of his people, bringing those blessings, not only for the place where that ministry is, but for all mankind. There will be a great blessing for the believers in Christ, and there will be a great tent cathedral where the third pool, as is called by the Reverend William Branham, will be fulfilled to help mankind. And that is what he spoke of. Let us see there in of several places, but we're only going to read one where he speaks to us about all of this. Notice on page 26, paragraph 216, at the bottom, to avoid reading, you can read that whole paragraph later, he says. But when it does, it'll be just as perfect as the others. It'll be just, and I'm trusting to God that it will be greater than the others. Not because of our ministry, but because of the sick and needy people. There is so much a need in the land today. See? And here our brother William tells us that this new manifestation that the church would have, and he's saying this in 2015, so we would have to search after 2015, 2016, 17, 18, 19. He left. Well, we have to look for that new manifestation because he said so, and it has to be in the midst of the church. Third pool, as it's called by the Reverend William Branham, will be fulfilled to help mankind. See? Now, he goes on to say, how will it begin? That is up to God. And what is up to us? To have the place for him to fulfill what he promised and to work on that project wholeheartedly with divine love. Because it is a divine promise that has to be fulfilled in the midst of Christianity. In that third pool is when the Jews are going to see the Messiah. They will see Christ manifested. And for sure, almost no one will want to leave during that season of the third pool when it begins. Now, when will it begin? Now notice, he says, and for sure, almost no one will want to leave during that season of the third pool when it begins. Now notice, it is sad that that manifestation and those promises have been spoken, and that when God is fulfilling them, people leave. But that also happened in the time of Jesus. Many left. They turned their back on him, whom are also already predestinated to do so. Because otherwise, where would the type and figure be at? So there has to be a reality at this time of what happened in past times. But that still makes us sad, because many of them are relatives or friends or brethren who we know since the beginning. And to see that after what was spoken by the forerunner, what was spoken by that mighty archangel about what God was going to be fulfilling, of that new manifestation in the midst of the church, of the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, when God is fulfilling it, since it's not the way provided by them, with their interpretations of what the fulfillment of that would be, then they turned their back on to that that God spoke of and said how it would be. And when he fulfills it, says it's not the way they expected it, then they turned their back on it. But the chosen ones of God will not want to leave. Instead, they will hold on to that promise. They will put their faith on that promise. Notice, like Abraham did, what we read at the beginning. Now, when will it begin? What we know about that third pool is that it will be in a great tent cathedral. Will the third pool begin at the beginning, in the middle, or when? That is for God to know. And God will reveal it at the time He desires to reveal it. But the important part, now He says, God will reveal it. How does God reveal to His people from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation His program? Through His prophets. For the Lord would do nothing without first revealing His secrets to His servants, His prophets. And God sends it through that prophet, and the prophet speaks it to the people. That is always the order, and God cannot change His order. But the important thing is to be prepared, to be watchful, turning away from every evil thing, and serve God with divine love and with enthusiasm, so that whatever we do for the Lord is accepted. And further on that same message it says, in other words, mankind will see and will also be benefited for sure from healing when Christ performs them, even though they won't be able to be transformed. Notice, many are going to be benefited from this third pool, even though it will not be for transformation. Many will come because, notice, there was an altar call. But all of that is already in a specific stage. Soon you will see how all this will be carried out. Now notice that for those people, it will no longer be for transformation, but rather it will be for them to be prepared to give their lives in the great tribulation. Remember that in the third pool, they will have to recognize Him, even those who have turned their back on Him, knowers of the message, who have turned their backs to the ministry under the tent. Even though they won't be able to be transformed, and therefore they won't be able to go in the rapture, because those who will go in the rapture are the wise virgins, the ones who will be transformed. Look in the message. The seed is not heir with the shuck. It tells us on page 10 on that message, it says, that's why the rapture is different and will only be for the royal seed of Abraham. It cannot come by the natural carnal seed of the church. It will have to be the royal seed of the Word of God through Abraham, the royal seed. That's why the rapture has to be first. Because remember, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder, prevent those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together and meet the Lord in the air. Notice, and again it's written, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. There on the side, on the left side, he writes, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, rapture, the trumpet of God. Therefore, they will not be heirs together. They'll not be in the rapture together And he writes, rapture. There is absolutely a church natural and a church spiritual, a church carnal, a church spiritual. And there is where he writes. On the back he writes, the carnal, intellectual, unbelievers. And he writes, foolish church. In intellectual, he writes, foolish church. The carnal, intellectual, on top, foolish church, unbelievers. And below he writes, the spiritual, the wise church, revelation, believer. They will not be heirs together. And our brother William goes on to say here, the foolish will go through the tribulation to be purged, and the world will be left in the great tribulation. In the great tribulation, the foolish virgins will die because the Antichrist persecutes them and kills them, and many Jews will also die. And it is not known if the same or more. At least the 144,000 will also die as martyrs, but then they will resurrect to be in the millennial kingdom, like eunuchs of a kingdom who serve the queen. In the message, who is this Melchizedek, on page 20, it tells us, a beautiful type of Rebecca meeting Isaac in the field, in the cool of the day. We met him in the air. 2 Thessalonians tells us so. And he writes, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, Revelation 4, come up hither. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Perfect. All these types. And he writes, come up hither equals rapture. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happened? The theophany comes to earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. And caught up and go to meet the Lord in the air. Now, notice he writes, the resurrection, and he writes, the theophany comes to get the body. And on the right side, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And he writes there, air in the cornerstone, and the arrow toward the cornerstone. Now notice, where is that the theophany or theophanies come to? It is to the age of the cornerstone. It is up in the air. It is a heavenly age. Therefore, whoever is not there, it is because he does not have that representation. Therefore, something cannot come to that person. Because to begin with, he's not there. And if he's not there, it's because his faith is not based and placed on that which was before that person went. Let us see, I want to read it just exactly as he said it, where he tells us that there he went first to the front to overcome. Now, if that faith is not placed, if that faith is not placed, notice, let us look here in that message that we read about possessing all things. Page 20, which is the one we read. I wanted to come back to this booklet to read it to you, to look for it and read it exactly as it is, he says. I'm just an heir of it. I don't have to do anything. I'm an heir of the promise. The only thing I have to have is put my faith on His promise. And if the person has not put his faith on that promise, and where is that promise? Above. In the age of the cornerstone, in the upper room. So that that theophany can then come. But if he doesn't put that faith up there, how is something going to come to a place where there is no one waiting there? That person has to be there for that theophany to be able to come. Now, notice. He continues saying, who is this Melchizedek but God? Now, we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death, and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. Now listen as we teach this closely. The stages of the eternal purpose he had in his secret has now been revealed. Notice, there is still three stages to perfection, just like he redeemed the world. Same way, he redeemed his church. He redeems the people in three stages. Now look, first is justification, like Luther preached. Second, sanctification, like Wesley preached. Third, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Then comes the rapture. And he writes, the three stages of redemption. And he writes, Ephesians 4:30. And there on the side, he writes, come up hither, Revelation 4:1. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes 1, 2, and 3. And above in the cornerstone, he writes 4. We have seen the inheritance of the overcomer. That is why he writes there, in that message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom, on the backside, in a little part, he writes there, he that overcomes will inherit. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Let us stand and thus leave in this subject the inheritance of the overcomer, our dear brother and friend,
Dr. William Soto Santiago.